in this sacred land. It has seen many hands, it has wealth and gold, yet it is fragile and old. And now the greedy souls just don't care to know of the changes it will confront. So speak out loud of the things you are proud. And if you love this coast, then keep it clean as it holds, 'cause the way that it shines may just dwindle with time, with the changes it will.
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Deborah Goldberg, who's the Managing Attorney at Earth Justice, where she supervises and conducts legal advocacy and litigation related to global warming and environmental health. She served as a law clerk for then-Judge Stephen Breyer, now of the Supreme Court, on the U.S. Court of Appeals for the First Circuit. And before joining Earth Justice, she was a Democracy Program Director of the Brennan Center for Justice at New York University School of Law. Welcome to Background Briefing, Deborah Goldberg.
Thank you very much.
And the U.S. is apparently about to surpass Russia as the world's leading producer of natural gas, and there's been a tremendous shift in this natural gas boom that's taking place at the expense of coal, and everybody seems to be celebrating the idea that natural gas is much, much less polluting in terms of global warming gases than coal. But my understanding is that because of this sort of fracking that's going on in a kind of Wild West way across the country, that there's a growing awareness that the seepage of methane might offset whatever benefits we get from the less polluting natural gas.
Yes, that's right. The production right now that is going on from shale, which is a relatively new development, causes the release of methane at many different points during the process. The fracking itself, particularly if it's done fast and furious, as it has been with the boom that we've seen recently, releases methane into the air. And throughout the production and transmission process, we have other places where the methane is released, whether it's from processing facilities or from pipelines, or because there have been accidents and the methane's been released into groundwater and now is just venting into the air.
But if you do this fracking, whether you do it well or as, you know, as some oil companies suggest that they do it properly, and others, the more freelance types, I guess, do it improperly. Either way, it would seem that if you inject this high-pressure water and these very noxious chemicals deep underground to break open the shale, isn't it logical that fissures would form not necessarily in exactly the spot where you have the wellhead?
Well, those sorts of things happen all the time. There's a term that the industry uses for them, which they call it fracking out of zone. The industry, of course, wants to avoid doing that because if they actually connect up to pre-existing fissures that can take the gas either to water or potentially ultimately to the air, they lose the products that they're trying to mine in the first place. But that doesn't mean that it doesn't happen. And it isn't just the fracturing process also. A lot of the problems that we've been seeing are from the drilling process. That's where we see most of the methane into migration into groundwater. And there is just a certain amount of methane that comes to the surface with the wastewater. So quite apart from whether or not the fracturing itself was done properly, there's still releases at the surface with the fracking process.
So who's calibrating and quantifying the leakage then? Because my understanding is that natural gas, methane, is 30 times more polluting than CO2. It's an exponentially worse greenhouse gas.
Okay. Well, over a 100-year period, it is believed to be about that much more polluting of the atmosphere. Over a 20-year time scale, you know, it could be as much as 100 times more potent than CO2. And, of course, we're very concerned about the short-term impacts because we don't have a lot of time right now to get our carbon dioxide equivalent numbers down to the point where we aren't going to face catastrophic climate change. So your question, you know, who is measuring it, is a very good one, because actually there's not a great deal of systematic measurement taking place. The industry is exempt from some of the requirements of the Clean Air Act that would require that they actually record the emissions of their facilities. And so we are now dependent upon independent types of research that are going on, and we don't have enough of that at this point to have a clear sense and real confidence that we even know how much of this is being released into the air.
Again, I'm speaking with Deborah Goldberg, who's the managing attorney at Earth Justice, where she supervises and conducts legal advocacy and litigation related on global warming and environmental health. She served as a law clerk for then Justice Stephen Breyer, now of the Supreme Court, on the U.S. Court of Appeals for the First Circuit. And before joining Earth Justice, she was the Democracy Programs Director of the Brennan Center for Justice at New York University School of Law. So, what is the industry admitting to, then, in terms of methane seepage from fracking?
I don't know that the industry collectively is admitting to any particular amount. What the industry will tell you is that there's much they can be doing to control it and we shouldn't worry about it. But the fact of the matter is the industry, for the most part, is not adopting the measures that are necessary to control it. We don't have green completions, which means that the gas is sent immediately into pipelines in much of the country. So, for example, most recently in the Uinta Basin in Utah, the National Oceans and Atmospheric Agency Administration did a study of the methane over that field and found that it could be to a 95% significance level, anywhere from 3% to 14% of the production levels actually just being emitted into the air. What we know is that at 4%, we lose the entire climate advantage that natural gas has over coal. And we've seen previous studies, also empirical studies by this administration, suggesting that there was at least 4% in other basins. So we are potentially already at a level in many basins that have been intensively developed where we are well beyond the level that would give us the climate advantage over coal.
So how is the seepage measured? Is there any empirical way to measure it so that – because fracking is going on all around the country, and it obviously – people that do it are more concerned about getting their product to market than they are about whatever the side effects might be. So surely it's incumbent upon the EPA or somebody to look into this matter, because this whole thing, we may be worse off in the long run than without this fracking going on.
Absolutely. And there are instruments that can be used to measure methane emissions. If you're at a particular valve or at a particular processing facility, I mean, you can measure emissions directly from the equipment. And EPA, in fact, develops what they call sort of emissions estimates based on equipment to project what emissions might be when there is gas development. The problem is that, first of all, not all of the emissions are from the equipment, and also these are just estimates. They're not actual empirical data. There's also equipment that can be used to measure empirically how much methane is released. NOAA used it over the Uinta Basin and the Julesburg Basin in Colorado to measure methane that's been released over those fields, and they can distinguish between methane that is coming from the oil and gas development and methane that's coming from other sources. What they can't do when they have these overflights or satellite testing is identify precisely what part of the gas development and transmission system is releasing the methane. So we get the empirical basin-wide data, and then we have emissions estimates from the equipment. But we don't, for example, have any idea how much is being released through just bubbling up from bad wells into groundwater or surface water and then into the air.
But, Deborah Goldberg, aren't there many, many examples of methane bubbling up? I mean, this fracking mania started in Pennsylvania. I've seen film of
yes.
Tell me about what we know about it, that.
Well, we know that there's massive amounts of gas migration into groundwater as a result of the oil and gas development process. It's typically taking place during the drilling process. The wells are inadequately cased and cemented, and then when the drilling is done, it causes migration of the gas into the formations, you know, toward the surface of the well. The fracking itself potentially could do that, but what we are principally seeing is that the if before you even start the fracking, you're getting the gas migration into wells, and that's what you've seen on documentaries like Gasland, where people can turn on their taps and light. What looks like light their faucets on fire. That's water that has been infused with methane, and it volatilizes into the air as soon as it comes out the faucet, and you can ignite it at that point.
Well, but the real point here is that if you have 4% leakage,
yep.
It's a wash. You're no better off than you are with burning coal.
From a climate perspective, that's absolutely right. Now, I would not for a minute say that we shouldn't be closing our coal plants. We definitely need to close our coal plants. They're a climate disaster, and they're also a public health disaster for other reasons. They emit high levels of particulates and other air pollutants that are of serious concern from a public health perspective. So, I wouldn't want your listeners to think that because we're very concerned about gas, it means that we should, give coal a free ride. But what we do need to do is make absolutely certain that we slow down the development of gas, the new development, until we are absolutely certain we can contain the methane, and that where gas is being developed already, that we put in place much better regulations to control the releases than we currently have. And this is a real problem, not just for gas development. It's also a big problem for shale oil development. If you look in the Bakken shale up in North Dakota, where they are mostly developing oil, not gas, they are flaring off huge amounts of natural gas. They're treating it as if it's nothing but a waste product. And, if you see pictures of the nighttime sky right now, North Dakota is as bright as Chicago because of all of the flaring, just burning off this methane. This is a capturable product. It's a usable product. And instead, it's simply being, burned off. It's less serious problem for the climate when it's burned than when it's simply vented. But it should not be released at all. It should be captured at best and put to use in more productive ways.
But which government agency? I mentioned the EPA. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they're involved, and you mentioned NOAA doing the imagery from the air of the leakage in Utah.
Yeah.
But we remember from the blowout, the BP blowout in the Gulf, how useless the Minerals Management Service were in their oversight of the drilling of that well that caused the worst environmental disaster, I think, in American history.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm concerned and skeptical about who is really, and the oil and gas industry, of course, has tremendous political clout. So I would like to know who or what kind of agency oversight there is to stop these bad practices, to force the people in North Dakota who are making money off the oil to also make money off the gas that they're venting and flaring. I mean, who's in charge here? FERC? MMS? Well, who is?
Well, unfortunately, there is a multiplicity of agencies that oversee different portions of the industry. You know, first and foremost, it is EPA that should be regulating this. And EPA just recently went through a rulemaking process to improve its air pollution rules for this industry. It passed up an opportunity to focus directly on methane. It refused, actually, during that rulemaking process to do it. So when you ask who's really doing the enforcement, honestly, it's the citizens of the United States that are now doing the enforcement. Earth Justice is engaged in litigation to force the EPA to regulate methane directly. In the transmission of the gas, you have Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, FERC. It should be doing a much better job investigating the climate impacts of the infrastructure that it's allowing to be built. It is not looking collectively at all of the pipelines or other types of infrastructure that's going in to figure out what are the climate impacts going to be from all of this. We have liquid natural gas export facilities that are being proposed now that will generate huge demand for more natural gas development, and FERC has not, neither Department of Energy nor FERC has undertaken a comprehensive study of what all of the more than a dozen pending proposals will do in terms of climate if all of this gas is extracted and then liquefied and shipped overseas and burned. So there's, you know, we really have an administration that's asleep at the watch with respect to climate impacts of the oil and gas industry. And it's, it's really very distressing for those of us who understand the impacts that this will have over the long term to see the industry back down from, see the administration and the agencies that are responsible for oversight backing down from opportunities to get some, at least, of this under control.
Well, but the administration, you say it's asleep at the switch. It's also celebrating this great switch that's underway to natural gas and the idea that the United States is becoming energy self-sufficient and we're surpassing Russia as the world's biggest producer of natural gas. Both the administration and the industry are celebrating this big change. But nobody's talking about whether or not, in fact, we're going to be worse off as a result of this. And if 4% leakage is enough to make it a wash in terms of the benefits of natural gas, and you say it could be as high as 14%, and that methane is 100 times worse in the short term than CO2 as a global warming gas, I'm not reassured.
I don't blame you. I'm not reassured either. Unfortunately, you know, we have a sort of what the government has described as an all of the above policy. Well, an all of the above policy is no energy policy at all. And what we really need is not investment in fossil fuels, but investment in clean, carbon-free, renewable energies. And you know, one of the big concerns right now that we have is that because the gas industry has been going gangbusters to the point where it's actually caused a glut and has driven the price of gas down so far, it's undermining the ability of carbon-free renewable energies to compete. So it not only helps to close down the coal plants, which is a good thing, but it hurts in the pace of development towards something that would help us end our addiction to fossil fuels.
Well, Deborah Goldberg, I thank you so much for joining us here.
My pleasure.
Again, I've been speaking with Deborah Goldberg, who's the managing attorney at Earth Justice, where she supervises and conducts legal advocacy and litigation related to global warming and environmental health. She served as a law clerk for then-Judge Stephen Breyer, now of the Supreme Court, on the U.S. Court of Appeals for the First Circuit. And before joining Earth Justice, she was the Democracy Program Director of the Brennan Center for Justice at NYU School of Law. We're going to take a brief station break and back talking about the philosophical underpinning of the Tea Party Republicans who want to shut the government down again.
Energy is becoming one of our country's greatest concerns. If we don't start working on energy conservation, there may not be enough energy to go around by the time I'm a parent. I'm going to talk about how we can solve some of our problems through alternative energy sources. You can learn more about energy, too. Call your county cooperative extension service for more information. Conserving energy is everyone's responsibility. Call 4-H to find out how you can do your part.